the name of God, who is love. Amen. Our companions today on this last Sunday in Advent are Mary and Elizabeth. In the often busy, dare I say frantic, and emotionally charged lead up to Christmas, Mary and Elizabeth call to us from the pages of Luke's Gospel. Their message is one of blessing, one of presence, and one of waiting. The visitation is a personal story that can become hidden amongst the larger narrative of the coming of Christ into the world. So today, let's pause and wait with these two women, Mary and Elizabeth, mothers to be, women from different generations who find a genuine connection with each other. Divine encounters have graced and unsettled the lives of both women. Amongst all the drama that has entered their lives, the angelic encounters, the husband who has become mute in Elizabeth's case, and the lack of husband in Mary's case, and the unexpected news that they are now both expecting, one fact remains: they must wait for the birth of their sons. The poet John O'Donoghue writes, "Two women locked in a story of birth, each mirrors the secret the other one heard." Mary had heard of Elizabeth's pregnancy from the angel Gabriel at the same time that she was told she would bear the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary then got ready and in a hurry left Nazareth to travel to an unnamed town in the hill country of Judea to see Elizabeth. To this small, out-of-the-way place, the Holy Spirit comes. Elizabeth is as surprised as anyone. "Why me?" she asks, as she prophesies about the child Mary is carrying and then blesses her. Elizabeth recognises what is taking place in her living room and she names it as an act of God. Mary responds with a picture of the reign of God. Mary's song, the Magnificat, paints a picture of the great reversals which are part of the reign of God. A picture of mercy for all, the humble being lifted up, the rich sent away empty, and the hungry filled with good things. What is remarkable about this vision is that it includes these two faithful Jewish women. In the world's eyes, they are marginalised. Mary is engaged but not married and is having a baby. Elizabeth has carried the burden of being married for many years and not having a child. The divine revelations which have come to them have occurred in their small, unremarkable towns where they live as occupied people as part of the Roman Empire. It is as if Mary and Elizabeth were visited by the Holy Spirit in Collector or Braidwood. It is no wonder then that Elizabeth says, "Why me? Why would the mother of my Lord come to me?" Elizabeth teaches us that faithfulness includes accepting the unexpected. As we approach the mystery of Christmas itself, we see the reign of God coming even closer in the birth of Jesus. The birth of the Saviour of the world takes place not in the spiritual and economic centre, that's Jerusalem, but in an animal shed, in another unremarkable place, Bethlehem. Mary and Elizabeth's story provides a sign for the way of God's activity in the world. God acts in people and places that are off the beaten track, in the unnamed places and the stables of our world and our lives. More often than not, God is in the nooks and crannies, the alleys and kitchens. Advent's call is a call to eyes, ears, and hearts that are trained to expect the unexpected and to listen for the least likely voices. And so, we train ourselves to look for God and perhaps find God in unlikely places today. Perhaps in a picture book about a wombat, in a smile from a stranger in a busy mall, in artwork and a Christmas play by children, in an amazing St. John's food collection in the first week of Advent, carried out from start to finish by amazing volunteers, in Christmas cards sent to asylum seekers in offshore detention, in hospitality given and received inside and outside this building, in school concerts, and in volunteers cleaning the church on a hot afternoon. On a global scale, I've seen it in the Canadian Prime Minister personally greeting Syrian refugees as they arrive at the airport. I wonder where it has been for you. For me this week, it has come in a story from a small village outside modern-day Bethlehem called Beit Zakaria. This story is shared by Elspeth Strachan, who was involved in human rights advocacy in the West Bank and in Israel. In this week before Christmas, I think it is fitting to share a story from the region of Bethlehem where the Christmas narratives find their setting. Elspeth writes, "Advent is a time of longing, and there is plenty of that amongst the Palestinians and Israelis that I met recently in Bethlehem. A deep longing for peace. But is there any hope of that longing being fulfilled? Not much. The situation is truly grim, with the occupation causing untold damage to both sides. And yet, as human beings, we are hardwired to keep on looking for signs of hope and faith and love, however hard that may be." Elspeth continues, "I was in Bethlehem with the World Council of Churches as a human rights monitor this year, and one day our team was called to Beit Zakaria because an animal stall had received a demolition order from the Israeli authorities. In Beit Zakaria, nothing, including an animal stall, can be built without Israeli permission. But permission is seldom given. So people build anyway and take the risk of their structures being demolished, as was the case with this ramshackle animal stall. As human rights monitors, we were called to take notes and to meet and discuss the next step with the head of the village, Abu Ibrahim. Beit Zakaria had many demolition orders against its structures, so the threat of a new demolition should have been a sad occasion. But everyone was smiling. Why? Because a little baby had been born to a young village woman after 13 years of waiting. A month before, after 13 years of marriage, Nora, Abu Ibrahim's daughter, had given birth to a child, a boy called Ibrahim. Everyone was thrilled. For a while, the injustice and misery of the occupation, the poverty of village life, and the oppression of the surrounding illegal settlements was forgotten because there was new life in the village. After years of longing, Nora had a child." Elspeth concludes, "Not everyone's longing for a child is fulfilled, just as not everyone's longing for peace is fulfilled, but we are asked to keep hope alive." For Elizabeth, Mary, Nora, and for us, hope comes in unexpected places. The birth of Ibrahim, John, and Jesus are signs of the reign of God coming close, even as the realities of injustice and marginalisation remain. In the chapel this week, I have set up a display to help us to further remember the people of Bethlehem today. You may like to spend some time in reflection or prayer after communion as we remember Mary, Elizabeth, and Nora, and the children they have brought into the world. Throughout Advent, these candles have burned brightly, even as they are surrounded by barbed wire. They remind us of the peace, hope, joy, and love of God made known in the Word made flesh, the one for whom we wait.